Matthew chapter number 1, and let's begin, if you would please, in just a moment in verse number 18, and I want to read down to verse number 25. Of course, today and throughout this Christmas season, we celebrate our Savior's birth, and I thought it fitting that we come to Matthew chapter number 1, and we look at a few thoughts here. Of course, funny to me during this time of the season. And I was in the K-5 classroom a couple of weeks ago and sitting with them, coloring with them. I'm telling you, those kids, they do a good job, you know. And they correct me when I don't color in the lines, too, you know. But kids were sitting there talking just about Christmas time and all of that. And I read something recently that I think will change your life. I think will help you, all right? According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, all right? While both male and female reindeer grow antlers in the summer each year, we just found this out, and this is really destroys our whole historical rendition of Santa Claus and the reindeer, but the male reindeer lose their antlers. Only the female reindeer keep their antlers, and therefore, according to every historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeer from Rudolph all the way down to Blitzen, they all had to be women reindeer, every one of them. You say, well, Pastor, what difference does this make? Well, we should have known. Only women could have been able to drag a man in a red suit around the world and not get lost at night, you know? So I just thought that was life-changing right there, and so it's just good to know, you know. So you say, what does that have to do with the message? Absolutely nothing, all right? But it's good to know and understand. Well, we can laugh about those things, but the truth of the matter is, when we come to this Christmas season, we celebrate the greatest thing of all, and that is our God gave His Son, the Lord Jesus, to come. He humbled Himself to be born of the Virgin Mary. And He came for one reason, to die. But the name that He was given, I love the name Emmanuel. Amen. That name is above every name. But the name means God with us. Think of this. Think of God, perfect, holy, righteous. But think of us, sinners. We cannot save ourselves. Think of us who rejected Jesus, but then God brings Jesus with. God with us. What a wonderful thought here. And this morning, I want to preach to you on this. The gift of God's presence, Emmanuel. Now, how many would be honest today that you have gifts under your tree wrapped? Would you raise your hand? All right. How many parents are having a hard time keeping your kids out of the gifts? Would you raise your hand? All right. Yes. You know something? What is it about us as Americans? We love to wrap presents, do we not? Maybe it's that we like to unwrap presents. Maybe that's really what it's all about. But you know that every year in America during the Christmas season, that the ribbon that is used just in America alone is enough ribbon for 38,000 miles of ribbon that we use in America. Did you also know that we use over 4 million tons of wrapping paper in America? You know what that makes me feel sorry for? The trash man coming soon, you know? Because there's going to be a lot of it. You know something? We love the thought of gifts, do we not? We love the thought of presents. Look, parents, what we could do that would be easier is just to take the toys and throw them under the tree, you know? We wouldn't even have to wrap them. I mean, they're just going to unwrap them. But there's something special about the surprise. There's something special about a gift that is wrapped with a name tag on it. And there's something special about unwrapping that gift and the surprise of what the loved one has given to the child or whoever it may be. There's something special. Well, you know something? At Christmas time, I want you this morning to unwrap the gift of God's presence named Emmanuel. I want you to unwrap the present. You see, do we understand what that name really meant? Do we understand what it means for us here and now? Do you know something? That we have a God in heaven who's not out of touch with reality. We have a God in heaven who understands you. We have a God in heaven who knows every detail of your life. He knows your heartache. He knows your sorrow. You say, but Pastor, how? Because He is Emmanuel, God with us. Let's read it together. Matthew chapter 1, and let's begin in verse number 18, and we will read down to verse number 25. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as His mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Well, today I want you with me this morning for just a few moments to understand that Christmas is not an event. It's not just something we put on the calendar. It's not just something that we attend programs. Christmas is really a gift. It is God's gift to you, and God gave the greatest gift of all, and He wrapped His Son in swaddling clothes and laid Him in a manger. And Jesus is God's Christmas gift to you and me. But it's more than just what we think on the surface. It's more than just that God gave of His Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus came for one reason, to be born in that manger, to bleed and die on the cross for the sins of all mankind. And on the third day, He would rise from the grave. You see, Christmas is more than just that. It is understanding that it is Emmanuel, God with us. Can you imagine? Throughout life sometimes, we sometimes think that maybe God does not understand us. Years ago, I heard the story of a little boy who was playing basketball with his dad. And they were outside in the summertime. His dad, you know, really tall. And the little boy, 6-7 years of age, really short. And the dad's out there and showing him how to shoot the basket and showing him how to dribble and showing him what to do. And finally, in just exasperation, the little boy said, Daddy, it's easy for you up there, but it's pretty hard for me down here. Well, you know, the truth is sometimes we almost want to say that to God. God, it's easy for you there in heaven where it's perfect, but it's really hard for us down here. God, you have no idea what it is like. Well, let me tell you something. Christmas changes our thinking on that because Jesus does know what it is like to live here on earth. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He understands sorrow. He understands heartache. He understands disappointment. He understands loss and grief. And He understands heartache. He understands it all. He knows what it is to live and walk among us. He knows what it is to live in a sin-cursed world. Oh, brethren, Emmanuel, that's God's gift to us of His presence. Do you know that Jesus, look, can I tell you this? The Lord Jesus Christ, truly, He understands your needs here today. He understands you. In fact, the Bible says that He is a very present help in time of trouble. How can Jesus be a very present help? For instance, if you are going through something tragic in your life, and someone were to say to you, I understand what you're going through, but really they'd never gone through it, it wouldn't mean a whole lot to you. Because they've never encountered what you have encountered in your life. But brethren, our Savior this morning knows every tear that you shed. He knows every heartache that you bear. He knows every emotion that you have ever had in your life. Because Jesus understands it. Because He has had that emotion. You see, he knows our sorrow and our heartache today. You know, he knows what it is to be a human. Do you know that God humbled himself by taking upon him the robe of human flesh? In fact, the Bible tells us, may I read to you in the book of John, John chapter 1, verse 14, if you can just listen to this. The Bible says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Who is he? He is Emmanuel. Number one this morning, I want you to notice the gift of God's presence. What does it mean? Number one, it means that God understands you. He understands you today. I'm always amazed, and for many years, my wife and I worked with young people. And I think one of the indictments of many teenagers is this: no one understands me. My parents don't understand me. My teacher doesn't understand me. And we know that's not true, but so often they make that statement. But if you and I are not careful, we can think no one has gone through what I'm going through. No one understands me, including God. But brethren, Christmas changes our thinking on that, because God does understand you. He understands you this morning. He knows what you are dealing with. He understands it. In fact, you know something? Because of Bethlehem this morning, I have a friend. Because of Bethlehem, I have a Savior. In fact, we can forget God, but He will never forget us. He is Emmanuel. We are forever on His mind this morning and in His plans. He is Emmanuel. He is God with us. It's not just that God made us, and He did. It's not that God thinks about us, and He does. It's not just God above us, and He is. But it's more than that. It is God with us today. He understands you. He understands me. He understands each and every one of us. He knows what we're dealing with today. You see, since God understands you, can I tell you? That means that I can go into His presence. I can spend time alone with my Savior, who was the God-man. I can talk to Him about the emotions and the fear and the burdens and the heartache. And I can talk to Him about all of that, because the Bible says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus understands it all. And brethren, He understands you. Oh, listen, this great gift that we have today is Emmanuel. Years ago, I heard this story. Back in 1926, a man by the name of George Harley and his wife, God had led them to be missionaries. In fact, they founded a medical mission among the Mano tribe of Liberia. They went there. They opened a chapel, and of course, with the opportunity to help people that were sick and ailing. But they had a chapel, and no one for the first year came to their chapel. And then their little child, their only child of 5 years of age, his name was Robert, got a tropical fever, and he died there in Liberia. They took his little body, and of course, they had a little casket made. Now think, remember, none of the Liberians would come to the chapel. They would not come to hear the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But on that day, as they gathered around to watch the funeral service of this missionary and his wife, they saw for the first time something they had never seen. As they lowered the casket into the grave, Mr. Robert and his wife began to weep and to cry. And the Liberian said, white man cry? White man is one of us. Can I tell you something today? Brethren, Jesus Christ became one of us. Jesus wept just like we weep. Jesus knows heartache. He knows rejection. He knows all of the emotions. Jesus understands it all. Jesus is one of us. He became one of us without sin. He was the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. And He came and He dwelt among us. Brethren, this morning, may I tell you, He understands you and me because He is Emmanuel. Someone once said that He took on your face in hopes that you might see His face. He came with tears that you might know He understands your tears. He knows the burden of a broken heart. He knows the sorrow that this life can bring. Hey, look, He could have come as a shining star or as a voice in the clouds, but Jesus came as a person. He came as a lowly baby. Jesus humbled Himself. Do you know this morning Jesus could have come as a grown-up man, but He came as a baby. He humbled Himself. He took upon Him the form of a servant. And listen to me this morning. He understands you today. Oh, listen, we have a God in heaven who knows every heartache that we bear. This morning, I want you to gaze where Mary gazed. Look into God's face and be assured today that if the King of all kings was willing to enter the world of animals and shepherds and swaddling clothes and be laid in a manger, don't you think that He's willing to enter your world? And don't you think that He is willing to help you and to strengthen you? I assure you this morning that He understands you and me. You see, this morning, when we think of this, we often think, God, do you know what it's like to live here? Oh, God does know what it is like to live here. He came in person. He was wrapped in that tiny little human body. He lived among us. He experienced human life as we experience it today. He knows the trials that we go through. He understands the pressures that you and I feel. He truly is Emmanuel, God with us. Take your Bibles, and would you go to Hebrews chapter number 4. I want to show you a wonderful passage here that we find. You see, the Lord Jesus became one of us. He experienced what we experience today. You know something? Christ can give true empathy to our human needs this morning. And as a human, Christ knows what it is like to be here on earth. You see, brethren, I want you to know that Jesus Christ, He laid aside His royal deity for a while. Oh, He did not lose His honor and His glory as being God. He did not lay aside that He was the God-man, but He laid aside that splendor. You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration that some of the disciples and Jesus got to be there. You remember that day that Jesus shone, He was shown that day and the glory of God was upon Him. Do you know what happened just for a moment? Christ unveiled His true glory. While He was on earth, He veiled His glory. He covered His glory, His majesty, and He became a man and He dwelt among us without sin. This morning, there is a God in heaven who understands you and me. You know what? Jesus became tired. I believe Jesus experienced loneliness. I believe Jesus experienced sorrow and grief and heartache and loss. And He experienced all that you and I could ever experience in life. Sometimes we want to say, God, you don't know what it's like. But God does know what it is like. He understands you and me. Hebrews chapter 4. I love this passage. Let's begin in verse number 15. Notice what the Bible says. Let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 14. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The Bible says, because Jesus came and dwelt among us, because He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. You know what it is like to be able to talk to someone who has been in your shoes before? I know for me as a pastor, I love talking with other pastors. I do. You know, in a sense, we understand one another. I understand them and they understand me. And I know what they have dealt with and they know what I've dealt with. And sometimes we long for someone to confide in, someone that we can share our burdens with. Well, brethren, may I introduce to you Emmanuel this morning. He is the one that you can confide in. He is the one that you can bear your heartache and your sorrow and your grief. He is the one this morning. That is why He came, to dwell among us. He understands you and me today. Oh, that's the gift of God's presence, that we can bring our petitions confidently before Him. We can know that He understands you and me today. But there's more to this great gift. Not only does He understand us, but number two, He helps us. He helps us. You know something? We live in a fearful world, do we not? There's so much fear. In fact, do you know that Jesus Christ did not come to a perfect world? He came where there was no room for Him in the end. He came to a sin-cursed world. He came, and the Bible says He came into His own received Him not. Jesus came at a terrible time in human history, at least what we would call it, human history. He came at a time in the darkest hour of man. But brethren, that's how Jesus comes to you and me. He has come to help us. Years ago, I heard the story, you know, little kids put on plays at Christmas time, and one little boy, his part, he had a simple part. He had one job, and his one job was to come out on the stage and come out and say, "It is I, be not afraid." That was his job to do. Well, that little boy, boy, he practiced his lines. He was ready to go, but then the night came, and the auditorium was packed. There was people everywhere. He walked out on that stage. He was thinking, "It is I, be not afraid." That's all he had to say. But he looked out there and the stage lights, and it was just overwhelming. And he burst out and he said, "It's me and I'm scared," you know. And he ran off the stage. Well, you know, sometimes in life, I feel like saying that to God. "God, it's me and I'm scared. Lord, I have so much fear. Fear of the future. Fear of what could happen. Fear of this and fear of failure and fear of all of that." We live in a world of fear. Is it not amazing that three times on the coming, the announcement of Jesus' birth, that the angels told Joseph, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife." He told Mary, "Fear not." He told the wise men, "Fear not." I mean, they were in fear. It's a great indication of how Jesus comes. He comes to help us. Look, I don't know this morning what you have in your heart that you fear. It could be today that you fear death, you fear dying. Well, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have reason to fear dying. Because dying without Jesus Christ means that you will spend an eternity separated from God in a place called hell. But can I tell you something? Christmas, the whole reason of the season, is that Jesus came as a lowly baby to be born in a manger so that when you and I die, we would not have to die separated from God. He came and He made a way for each and every one of us. No matter who you are, no matter where you've been or what you've done, you can put your faith and trust in a Savior who loves you this morning. Oh, He wants to save you from your sin. In fact, Jesus coming, the Bible says He is a Savior which will save His people from their sins. Jesus wants to save you today. He wants to help you. You know something, sometimes it is amazing at Christmas that I've been a pastor long enough to know that not everybody sees Christmas time the same way. And what I mean by that is this. For some people, Christmas just brings back painful memories. For some, it's the empty chair at the table. For some, it's the missing card from out of state. For some, it's the tradition is no longer there because the person that they celebrated it with is no longer there. But can I tell you, that is exactly why Jesus came. He came to help you and me. He came to strengthen our hearts. He came to encourage us. Listen, Christmas reminds us that this falling world that we live in will never be perfect. Jesus came to redeem us. He came to save us because we cannot save ourselves. The very reason Jesus came is because we all need a Savior today. And even though if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning, wonderful. But can I tell you something? You still need a Savior day in and day out. Not to save you from your sin debt. That was carried, that was taken care of at Calvary. But we need a Savior every single day. One that helps us. He understands us. He wants to strengthen you each and every day of your life. Oh, listen, our God is not distant. He came to dwell among us. He is Emmanuel. Oh, listen, Jesus didn't have to come. Did you know that? And by the way, if I was God, I would not give my son to anyone. And I definitely wouldn't give him to a world who rebelled against God. But God was willing to give his only begotten son for you and me. Jesus came. Now think of this. Think of it. That night that Mary and Joseph, precious family, my wife and I, we've experienced birth three times with our precious children. But, you know, we were in the hospital where it was clean and sanitary and safe. And the doctors were there. And we had all of the modern conveniences. And everything was so private and sacred and taken care of. But not for Mary and Joseph. Oh, no. In a stable. In a manger. Among the animals. Can you think of that? Can you think that Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, was born like that? Can I tell you something? He came because he understands you and me, but he came to help us. He understands poverty. He understands every bit of life that you and I will ever experience in our lives. He knows it. You see, Jesus didn't have to come. He didn't have to give his life for our sins. He didn't have to leave the splendor of heaven to dwell among the wickedness of man. He chose to live with us. He chose to live among us. He chose to love us and to die for us. That's the greatest present of all. It is God's gift to you and me. And now, may I tell you, he reminds us that he stands ready today to help us. He's ready this morning to help you. He's ready. He's ready to guide you in your life. He's ready to strengthen you today. But you have to unwrap the present. You see, we have presents under our tree. And on Christmas morning, I know my kids don't like this, but we like to take time, you know. And instead of just, you know, ripping into everything, I want to pass out the gifts. And, all right, this is for Caleb, and this is for Joshua. And they're like, Dad, would you hurry, you know. And like, hey, we got to eat breakfast first. And, you know, how many had parents just like that right there? Would you raise your hand? All right. Those are good parents right there, all right. And then my kids are like, Dad, just go get with it, you know. And hurry up the thing here. But to me, I just don't want it to be over. I want to give the present and see the expression and see the joy and love. But brethren, this morning, God has a present for you. If you're here without Jesus Christ, it's the gift of eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus did all the work. It is not getting baptized. It's not going to a church. It's not doing good deeds. Those are all good and wonderful. But Christmas tells us that we cannot save ourselves. We need a Savior. And he came as the lowly baby. He came to live and walk among us and to die for you and me. But brethren, today he wants to help you. Have you ever gone somewhere before, and maybe it could even be a restaurant or whatever, and people are there to help you? I have to go to the hospitals a lot, and I have now pretty much gone to every hospital in the whole state of Ohio, you know, at this point, it seems like. But when I first came here, I remember I really appreciated when I went to a hospital, I would say, hey, sir, ma'am, how do I get to such and such, you know? In some hospitals, it's like a city, you know, it's like a maze trying to get there, you know? And every once in a while, I would have someone to say, well, I tell you what, just follow me. Well, I was so grateful for that. Because you know something? They didn't just say, yeah, take a right down four hallways and past the third door. You know, it wasn't anything like that. It was follow me. Can I tell you something? Jesus did not come and he did not say, this is what you're to do. You know what Jesus said? Follow me.
Amen.
Jesus came to help you and me. But listen, it hasn't stopped at Bethlehem. It didn't stop at Calvary. It continues on for you and me. Jesus offers to you, I want to help you. I want to guide you. I want to direct you. I want to give you peace and joy and love. And I want to fill you with everything that I have for you. He is here to help us. So often, of course, 911 is a call that is made thousands and hundreds of thousands of times, literally every single day. People crying out, help me. Well, brethren, that is a word, a phrase that our God responds to. Maybe you're here today and you say, God, help me. I want you to know He's ready to help you. Psalm 40 verse 17 says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tearing, O my God. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. It was said of King George VI and his wife, Queen Elizabeth. It was during the time of the bombings in World War II, where Hitler obviously and the Germans were bombing London. He should have left. It was dangerous. His life could have been taken, but he was a good king and he loved his people and he stayed. He did not leave to salvage his own life. He was there to help his people, to be with them in their sorrow and in their grief. Well, there was a man that did not know the king had stayed by. He thought the king left for safety. And one day, after a particular time of a big bombing, and literally the king was there after the bombing to survey and to look at all of what had taken place. He was there to inspect it. And there was an elder man who was there. And he looked up and he saw the king. King George was there. And he said, you? You here among all this wreckage? And he began to cry and he said, you are a good king. Can I tell you something? Jesus came to this old sin-cursed world. He came among our hopelessness and our helplessness. He came unto people who rejected Him. He came unto you and me. We didn't seek after the Son of God. In fact, the world wanted to crucify Him. But Jesus came to help you and me. He truly this morning is the good King. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He is Emmanuel. Can I tell you something? Christmas says the same to you and me. God chose to wrap Himself in helpless humanity that He might give Himself for our sins. That means that He is the King of kings and truly the Lord of lords. He came to our darkness, our helplessness, and our ugly sinfulness. He came to help you and me. And I don't care where you're at in your life right now. You may have addictions, you may have sin habits that is a part of your life, and you may think, as the devil has lied to you, that God has nothing to do with you, that God has forgotten of you, that God is not there to help you, and you may think that you have to change yourself before God will ever love or accept you. Well, I've got news for you today. Look at the Christmas story. Jesus came to helpless humanity. He came because He loves you and me, and He came to help us. Oh, what a significance this is. You see, why is it then that in the midst of our struggles and our temptations and our griefs and our burdens that we try to carry on without God? In fact, there have been times in my own life that I've almost lived as if God does not exist. I think I must bear the burden alone. I must handle this problem in my own strength. And I carry on without God. I think that we have forgot that the gift of Christmas is the gift of His presence. Emmanuel, God with us. He understands you. He helps you. But number three, He changes us. Boy, if God left us in our state, we'd be in a terrible state and condition, would we not? All throughout Christ's ministry, He changed lives. Jesus healed the sick and He gave sight to the blind. He gave hearing to the deaf. He gave strength to the lame. He healed the lepers and He even gave life to the dead. He fed the hungry and He comforted those that were hurting. He taught the words of life, and he lived with grace and compassion. And then he did the ultimate. He gave himself on the cross. Look, men did not take Jesus and crucify him. Oh, no. He willingly gave of himself. He willingly died so that you and I could spend eternity with him. He gave the greatest gift of all. He gave his life. On that day when Jesus died on the cross, God took the sin debt of the world and he placed it upon Jesus. And the Bible says that he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Listen, Jesus gave the greatest gift of all, but he came to change you and me. Now, I'm not going to ask you this question for you to raise your hand publicly, but I wonder today, if I were to ask you, do you need to be changed? I think all of us would raise our hand, including myself. You see, we have things in our lives only God can deal with. But the Christmas story is that Jesus came to change us. You see, the change that Christ's presence brings is that, yes, he changes us. And the fact, the Bible says that old things are passed away and become all things have become new. He changes us. We are born in this world, children of the devil, separated from God. But by faith in Jesus Christ, we become children of God with a home in heaven. But not just that. He wants to change our fear to courage. He wants to change our worry to trust, our pride to humility, our selfishness to love, our bitterness to forgiveness, and our despair to hope. Last night, our family and our devotions, we were reading in the book of Matthew, and we are working through the Gospels as a family, and it's taken us a long time because last night, in fact, we read just a few verses together. And I read last night where the Bible talked about the lame man. In fact, the Bible says, may I read it to you? Can you listen? Matthew chapter 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Do you believe that this morning? That Jesus can make you clean, that he can change you, that he can change everything about you. That man did, and he said, Lord, if thou wilt. And I love what Jesus said. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. Boy, when I read that last night, it touched my heart, and we talked about it with our kids. Can I tell you something? There is a God in heaven who stands ready, and you know what he says? I will, be thou clean. He's ready to cleanse you. But can I tell you, the leper had to come to Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, we cannot come to Christ of our own. But I'm going to tell you something. When we say, Lord, help me and change me, God is ready to help you and to change you. And he even understands you. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, can I tell you something? When you acknowledge that Jesus is the only way, for he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh in the Father but by me. When you acknowledge Jesus as the only way and you recognize that you're a sinner and cannot get to heaven on your own, can I tell you something? God is ready to give you the greatest gift of all, and as the gift of salvation and eternal life in heaven. But maybe you're here this morning and you are a child of God. Wonderful. But this morning you say, Pastor, I got so many things in my life. Pastor, does God understand me? Yes, he's Emmanuel. He lived and walked among us. He knows what you're dealing with this morning. You may say, well, Pastor, will God help me? Yes, he's ready to help you. That's Emmanuel. That's the whole reason he came, so that you would know he is here to help you. And you say, Pastor, will God change me? Yes, he is willing. But are you willing? Jesus said, I will. Jesus said, I've always been ready to heal you. And brethren, this morning, the Lord wants to make you and me clean. He wants to work in our lives. You know something? I love the beginning of a brand new year. I really do. It's a year that, a time when we can lay this year to rest and put 2018 behind us. But a brand new year is coming, 2019. You know something I love about a brand new year? We haven't wasted any days in 2019 yet. We haven't. We haven't done something that we regret yet in 2019. But it's a brand new year. But I want you to know something. Our God, who is Emmanuel, has already been in 2019. He's eternal. In fact, He sees your past, present, and future all together. And you know what He's doing? He's working all things together for your good. You see, God's already been there. And listen, His grace is already sufficient for every need that you will ever have in 2019. He is ready to help you. He's a refuge. He's a strength. He's a very present help in time of need. And He will help you in every day of 2019. That is what Christmas is all about. God came. He came. He understands you. He knows you in your state, your condition this morning. And He wants to save you if you're without Jesus Christ. But if you're here a child of God, He wants to make you more like Him. He wants to give you the joy of His presence day by day. You know something? I'll be honest with you. I love being a pastor. I love it. It's what God's called me to do. I don't know if I can adequately describe how much I love being a preacher and a pastor. I love it. But there is no greater joy that I have in life than just being in the presence of my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ. You say, well, Pastor, what do you mean by that? I mean this. I mean the time that I can talk to Him and He talks to me, not in an audible voice as I'm speaking to you, but He speaks to me through His precious Word. And you know something? When I'm in His presence and I pray and I spend time alone with Him, there's no joy like the presence of my Heavenly Father. You know what? Heaven. Oh, we may talk about the streets of gold and we may talk about the angels and all that. Really, brethren, I don't really care about the gold and all the angels. I just want to see my Savior face to face. I can talk to Him face to face. I can spend eternity in the presence of my Heavenly Father. You know something? I kind of envy the disciples and envy the people that saw the baby. In fact, the shepherds, they left rejoicing. Why? Because they'd been in His presence. Brethren, God has a gift for you this morning. If you're here without Jesus Christ, He wants to give you that free gift of salvation. He purchased it with His own blood. He died on the cross to pay for you. He wants to save you today. But if you're here and you're a Christian, He also has a gift for you. It's called His presence. To live in His presence, to know and recognize His presence. He's with you. In fact, Jesus said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What a great promise that is today. And a promise that He understands you. He's not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched. He knows what we deal with. He understands you and me. And that means let us therefore come boldly into His presence with our requests. Listen, we can call into Him. He understands you. He wants to help you. And He wants to change you. This morning, that is what Emmanuel is all about. Praise God that He is God with us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.